This show was first broadcast on Free FM 89.0, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access radio station. For more information on our station and our wide range of programs, visit freefm.org.nz. Podcasting. It's easier than you think, and Free FM has everything you need, from help with initial planning right through to hosting and delivery across popular podcast platforms. Our content creators are just ordinary people delivering engaging weekly podcasts and radio shows on all sorts of issues that affect them, their communities, and our society. We're really keen to support new content by, for, and about a wide range of community groups and issues. Interested? Go to freefm.org.nz or see our Facebook page to find out more.
Kia ora, welcome to Connect with Community Waikato on Free FM 89.0. I'm your host today, Holly Snape. I am joined by Ailey and Hannah. How are you both?
Good, thank you.
Fantastic, thanks for asking.
I really appreciate you both coming in because this was actually quite short notice. And it's short notice because I actually just heard about you guys and got super excited about the stuff that you're doing.
Thanks.
You're with SEL. What does that stand for?
So SEL stands for Student Enviro Leaders.
I mean, that just sounds awesome in itself, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's certainly a privilege to be part of the group.
How did you come up with the name?
So I've been a member since around June or July, so I don't actually know, as I haven't been a member since the beginning. But it was started by Monica as a way for schools, environment councils or environment leaders to connect. So I think that's where it kind of started.
Fantastic. And you, Ailey, have you been involved for a while?
No, actually. So I'm not a high school student, which is kind of funny because it's all high school students except me. So I've just been in the UK, involved with Extinction Rebellion and that kind of stuff. And I just came back and I went to the climate conference with Hannah and Molly, and SEL was all there. And I just kind of asked Monica, I was like, hey, I'd love to get involved. And she was like, of course, absolutely. So I've just been going 100% since then. So
that's absolutely fantastic. Let's roll back then and talk about specifically what it is that you do as SEL.
So we've been involved, we began with talking at public forums to ask for a climate emergency to be declared. Unfortunately, that didn't happen, but we are currently liaising with the council on a climate action plan.
There's a whole lot of new councillors now, eh?
And yeah,
a number of absolutely. Them seem to have a bit more of an appetite
to listen to us, yeah, so that's really exciting. We also organised the past strikes that have happened in Hamilton, and we're currently organising this event that we're going to talk about, I think.
So the strikes have been incredible, actually. I managed to attend the first one, not the second, because I was tied up in meetings. Yeah. I like to get along to a good protest, personally. Yeah. And what really heartened me, because I go to quite a few, and I can tell you generally it's the same people. It's like old protest reunions. Hey, I haven't seen you since the last one. Yeah. What was great about this one was that that was not at all the case. This was actually, I mean, it was students obviously protesting and leading this conversation, but also that somehow you also attracted so many other people to back and support that student voice. And I think that was extremely well orchestrated and done, but yes, really impactful, eh?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I think the big difference now, like you said, there's older people were going to the protest, but now it's just kind of like reviving it a bit. It's just kind of giving it a fresh spin on things. And I think just kind of the student voice, I think in the past it's kind of like, you know, younger people are seen and not heard. And I think that's just changing a lot, which is really helpful for us.
Yeah. And we know that people have been working in the climate action space for a really long time. This isn't a new issue for a lot of people. And I think having that revival of energy and motivation and that coming from young people who will continue to act has been really exciting for them to see as well.
Yeah, most definitely. You know, it's an area I've been interested in for many years, and you do get tired, and it's fantastic seeing this whole new generation of passionate, committed, educated young people driving this change is brilliant. And I also think a wonderful challenge to people, the older generation, who sometimes dismiss the input of younger people and sort of think that they're not really committed to things. This is a great example of how progressive our young people are.
Yeah, absolutely. And also what we've noticed with our parents is they're like, oh, we're old, so we'll just support you guys. You know, we're tied up in our careers and we're doing this, but actually we've been calling on them to change and them opening up their eyes and getting involved and coming to the strikes that, you know, we organize has been really exciting. And it shows that there's a lot of talk right now, you know, with boomers and the generational separation. But actually involving everyone in this fight because everyone's needed.
Yes. Oh, yeah, you're absolutely right. I think, though, having young people front it is particularly helpful because it's our younger generations who are facing the consequence of global
for
warming.
Longer, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah, and it will be your kids as well who are, you know, really impacted by this. So, I mean, absolutely incredible. You've organised a couple of good strikes. I love the work that you're doing with councils. Are you guys getting in front of them and having those conversations?
So, actually, we've organised for the 18th of December, we're going to be sit down and talk with some of the councillors about the climate action plan. So they're going to get our input, and so all of the SEL hopefully that can make it, we're all going to be there. I'm going to sit around and we're going to be like, okay, this is what we think, and hopefully implement a bit of a change in that.
Yeah, and certainly early on in this year going and making speeches at the public forum in regards to climate emergency.
Well, I think that was really clever. I think right through the election period as well, it kept it on the agenda.
Yes,
you know,
absolutely,
people couldn't brush it under the cover. And what was great was that the public had so much interest in it as well. So, and of course, there's a general election next year.
Yeah,
sure
it is. And I think it's really important to see the climate crisis as the forefront of everyone's agenda, of all parties, so cross-partisan.
Mm. Especially with the that zero carbon bill going through.
Yes.
That's really exciting, especially it's just, but with the general election next year, we've got to continue this. We need to elect the people that will continue that. So that's why it's really important to go out and vote if you can, please.
For us, please.
Yeah, look, that is an extremely good point. You know, just because these things make it across the line at this point doesn't mean to say there's going to be an ongoing commitment.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, getting the right people there. And I think, you know, this work that you're doing towards promoting a climate emergency, you know, state of crisis being declared by councils will also be helpful for pushing the government to make
the same call. Yeah.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Fantastic. So you've been involved now for a few months, 6 months or so at this point. And what sorts of other things you've been involved with, and who's kind of in there? Who are you having conversations with? Like, who are your comrades?
Right. So personally, my climate action journey started with participation. So kind of went to a few XR meetings. I started a climate action group at my school. And then majority of my work is done within SEL because it's that space that allows us to really make action now that it's actually has a title, you know, member of SEL. So that's been really cool. And
And we've got connections with SEL. It gives us connections. We've got council connections. We've got, and it just, with like-minded individuals, we can make these changes happen. So I've been involved in trying to make a change for like 4 years, you know, but it's been more on an individual level. And that's kind of what's been a big realization this year, is that, you know, you can make these individual changes and they're fantastic. It's really good to be, you know, little changes like not having single-use plastic, for example, very, very important. Mm. But then the big change comes from these collective actions. And so that's what I realized this year, and hence why I was like trying to get involved in the SEL and really just kind of stress the importance of that.
Yeah. I think SELs, it is a great framework to be able to have Absolutely. Conversations from, and certainly makes it easier when you're engaging with big organizations. Yeah. You talked about it being like student led. So is that high school, or does it include primary? Does it include tertiary students? Like who can join in terms of that student?
So it was initially started by Monica to connect the high school leaders, specifically the environment leaders at different high schools around the Waikato, but Hamilton in particular. But kind of since then, it now is just kind of, then it became just high school students. And then me, of course. I think it's sticking to high school students at the moment, but we do liaise with all young people. So I don't think we have a limit or a restriction in regards to who can or can't join.
A lot of our energy was focused on the strikes during this year because obviously as students we have other things, though this is the most important thing for us. After that, and with exams coming to an end, NCA exams, we're currently actually developing framework and what the group means and things like, are we going to let young people in? How old do you have to be? So just drawing those lines in that framework. Yeah.
And it does seem important to have some framework around it, you know, and that's not to, you know, exclude another group from forming, like the tertiary, you know, their own example.
Yeah.
I mean, it might be a nice pathway into the next thing. So, very wise.
As well as developing framework, what comes under that is who becomes like the leaders of SEL and who is in the SEL group. So who does the work and who's the one.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's what we're developing. And it is exciting because talking with the other members who have been involved as well, how the group functions moving forward so we can just build on bigger change.
We can facilitate. We can facilitate the growth of the group is kind of what we're trying to work out.
And in doing that, you'll build some real sustainability in the group as well.
Exactly. Yeah. Because, I mean, for example, I'm off to uni next year, Monica and quite a lot of the other people within the group. I think maybe four or five of us are off to uni next year. So it's kind
of... So that succession planning now is very wise.
Passing it on to the youngins to take charge.
No, that's awesome. Hey, there was some criticism during the strikes about kids actually striking from school and saying, well, you know, is that any kind of hardship for them anyway? Or, you know, and what is that going to actually achieve? From your perspective, how did you respond to that kind of criticism?
Go to the student.
For me, the idea that it wasn't any hardship, I just felt like people are always nitpicking at what we're actually calling for. Like, it doesn't matter that we miss a few classes. Sure, that's not a big deal, but what we're calling for is climate action. So don't... It's difficult dealing with backlash for something you're trying to organize, especially as young people, and that's skills we're currently learning, you know. Yeah. So any kind of backlash you had to learn to navigate, and that in particular was always just listen to us, because we're not saying we don't want time, we want time off school, we're saying we want climate action.
Yeah. And I actually think it kind of proved your point quite well too. I mean, what it achieved, that criticism in itself achieved people talking about it. Exactly. And if you hadn't taken time off school, who would have spoken about it?
Yeah, and part of the global movement as well is like, that's what everyone is doing, so we're not just going to do it on a weekend.
Yeah, of course.
It started as school strike for climate, so that's what it evolved from. So I think, and like Hannah said, people just try and nitpick to take away from it, and actually at the core it's like, we are trying to call a climate emergency for future generations, for protecting our future and our kids' futures and even their kids. So it's like, it's more than missing a few math tutorials and forgetting how to do standard deviation in your exams, you know.
Right.
It's a lot more important than that.
Did did the teachers get behind you generally with the strike?
I guess it varies from school to school and from teacher to teacher, and really, and then it also varies in the general public of really who understands this issue maybe, and it really brought to attention like the urgency of this issue, because you have a real spectrum of climate denial, or that's like outright, it's not a thing. And then, but there's also, it's a thing, but it's not as urgent as these kids are.
And we didn't cause it. It's just cyclical.
It's part of the natural cycle. It would have happened anyways, just those comments. So it's certainly, I wouldn't say, my school said that you can go, but due to health and safety reasons, we can't.
Yeah. That makes some sense, though.
Yeah. Because you've also got, like, these schools, like, I mean, they've also got parents, so like, there's like different people have different opinions, and so the school's trying to make sure that the parents who are very like, I want my kid at school, blah blah blah, and then also the parents that are like, just let them go to the strike, it's really important, and they've got to try and please everyone. So I think that's another thing, we don't want to alienate ourselves from certain groups, so we're not saying for schools that did or didn't let them, we're not like support, that's not supporting us any more than the other ones, because we don't want to ostracize ourselves from them, because it's about, like Hannah said, it's about everybody in this movement. So that's why, for example, now it's students, where we're like, okay, but it's more than students now.
Yeah.
You know, stop, it's not an excuse for you to put the blame on us. we want to get everyone involved.
Yeah, yeah. You've got a big event coming up shortly.
Yes.
So we're going to talk about that very shortly. We're just going to take a little bit of a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about next Friday and how people might want to get involved. Tide is high with Blondie. You've got an awesome event coming up, a climate action event. So this isn't protest. This is some real positive grassroots action. You know, tell me a little bit about it.
So we wanted to do something a little bit different because we've had three strikes and we thought, you know, different people might be involved. I want to get involved in different things. And we thought, let's get actual collective action happening and give people the opportunity to take climate action, because we're stressing that we want people to take climate action, but then some people don't necessarily know how to take those first steps. So that's what we're going to try and facilitate this upcoming Friday.
So this is during Friday. What time does it start?
So there are multiple gullies. It's between 9 and 3. So we've got Manga Iti Gully, which is 9:45 to 12. We have the Rivoli Restoration Project, which is 10 to 12. We have the Mangaunua, which is Silverdale Restoration, which again is 10 to 12. The Waiwhakareke National Heritage Park, which is opposite Hamilton Zoo, that's 10 to 12. Fairfield, which is 10 to 12, Hillcrest Stadium, which is the afternoon session, 3 to 4, and then there's a child-orientated one at Hillcrest Stadium, again with the Kirikiriroa Explorers, which is 4 till 5.30.
Yeah. Okay, so tell me, what's likely to happen? And, oh, people can find this, so we'll give you the details of how to actually look all of that up again. You don't need to have remembered it.
Just don't write it down.
Yeah, so what happens at each of these, in each of these places?
So the planting season is over, so it will be focusing on mainly weeding to just free up space for the native trees, or hopefully, plants to take root.
A nicer word for that is just release. It's like I like to call it releasing these the natives and giving them the chance to thrive and taking away all those noxious weeds, so that will be majority of what is involved,
So I've been lucky enough to do some of that work in the Mongoko Tukutuku Gully, which is my local gully. And almost everyone in Hamilton has a local gully, actually. They're just everywhere, and they're the most amazing places to be, aren't they?
Yeah, I find a lot of people are actually surprised by how many gullies there are in the Waikato region.
Yeah.
So obviously, because we have several gullies across Hamilton, we really wanted to make it accessible to everyone so they could easily access the closest gully.
Yeah, I think that's an excellent idea. That spread across the city is fantastic. And the releasing work that we've done in the Sanford Gully, which is my local one, it's actually relatively straightforward work. But what I've found was great was that opportunity to talk with others around you. You know, we had someone kind of leading it who was able to talk a little bit more about biodiversity in a gully. And so learning about biodiversity is awesome.
A member of SEL will be at each gully, so people are welcome to come talk to us about climate action, how they can get involved and what we're doing. So a good chance for networking as well.
Mm. So are each of these events also suitable for little children?
So I guess the one for like little children, so for example like under 7 or 7 to 12, that there is the Kirikiriroa Explorers one at Hillcrest Stadium from 4. But then there is, of course, I think as long as they have a guardian with them, if they are under 12, then I am sure that they'll be more than capable.
Because a lot of the gullies, of course, have water systems.
Correct.
So for safety, I'm sure you just want to make sure everyone's well supervised.
Yes, so please do not come alone if you are under 12 years old.
Do people need to bring things with them? Should they bring gardening implements?
So I've been in contact with the gullies. A lot of them have a lot of their own stuff. But what's very important is if you do have a pair of gloves, bring them. Because, you don't want to be sweating into someone else's sweaty gloves.
Yeah.
So if you bring your own gloves, if you have them. But if you don't feel pressured to go buy some. There will be some available.
Yeah.
And also I think what's important, closed shoes. Very importantly, wear closed, suitable shoes. And bring a bottle of water because it is supposed to be quite warm. And a lot of the gullies, because some of them are quite new, with the new plantings, the trees are not yet old enough to provide shade.
So certainly also some sunscreen if it's going to be sunny. But also maybe some bug spray?
I think in the morning, definitely, if you're coming at like 10, usually that's when the mozzies are out. But I think if you think anything that you may think you need, wouldn't hurt to bring some along.
I think it's great. You can see this lovely transition from the protest action, which is about talking, raising awareness, putting a stake in the ground, saying this is a problem. And I like that transition to now this is what we can do about it. Here's stage one. And I'm sure there are many other stages and projects to come. But this is a really lovely, hands-on, very accessible kind of project for many people. Yeah. I suppose in terms of, I haven't been to all those gullies, and so I don't know what the accessibility is like for people with more mobility sort of access issues.
So we did take that into consideration because we understand that, not everybody is able-bodied. And I know that for sure the Manga Iti Gully is not suitable, because the reason that we are going to that gully is because there's a certain area that a lot of the people that go regularly cannot reach, as a lot of them are of older ages.
So it's about enabling that's accessibility.
But the Hillcrest Stadium, because that's where the child-orientated one is, that I'm sure is a lot more accessible, flatter. But I myself haven't been to all these gullies, so I wouldn't be.
And in regards to accessibility, we understand that for protesting that's not accessible to everyone. Mm-hmm. And then so we're now doing a different event with gully restoration, so those who may be overwhelmed by large crowds or can't attend or participate in protests, we now have different ways for you to take climate action. So we've got different events coming in the future for different people as we're trying to build climate justice and intersectionality within our group.
It sounds absolutely brilliant. Mm-hmm. Could you explain to me why gullies are important? Like, why even focus on a gully?
Well, if you the UN recently released a biodiversity report, and we're seeing, as you know, an increase in temperature in ecosystems starting to degrade and break down. And what biodiversity does, it acts as a carbon sink. So mm-hmm. within the carbon cycle, you've got plants photosynthesizing and taking in that carbon dioxide, right? So that's a scientific thing. And it's just basically building a habitat for animals to live in. And
and all the range of plant life. And of course, in Hamilton particularly, we're really lucky with our local bat population, which is very unusual in urban environments.
Exactly. Yeah, so it's, it's interesting that a lot of people don't know about that either. Mm. So maybe this is the time that we could
build knowledge.
Yeah, teach people.
Oh, most definitely. There's bat colonies around where I live, and it's one of the most prolific areas. So I still haven't seen them, but I'm going to go on a bat tour soon.
Oh, that's exciting. Yeah, that'd be really cool.
So this is awesome. It's an event that you've got going on Friday the 29th?
Correct, yes, 29th.
Starting at 9 o'clock. Can you give me the details of how people can look this up? Like, are you guys on Facebook?
We do have a Facebook. So if you were to look up Student Enviro Leaders, Waikato, we are on Facebook. We also have the Facebook event, which is Hamilton Day of Climate Action. And we also have an Instagram account. You find us at Student Enviro Leaders, where we post or regularly post information. But it's also really important that you, if you are wanting to attend a gully, that you register, because you have to show your registration just for health and safety reasons. So you can access that. The link is on our Facebook event page, but it is also waikatoclimateactionday.eventbrite.co.nz, and Eventbrite is eventbrite.co.nz. Yep. So that's where you can register your interest at any one of the gullies that we mentioned before.
And I think that is really important. It's really, also really important to capture, you know, sort of who's coming down and accessing this stuff and supporting you.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really cool. And people committing to this, it's not a big commitment. If you're going to one event, really you're looking at 9 to 12 or you're looking at the afternoon event, eh?
Well, not even 9 to 12, it would be 10 to 12. So maximum 2 hours. Come along, meet some people. We're also going to be providing food from Kaivolution for afterwards. So if you want a bite to eat afterwards, we will have some Kai.
Yeah, it's also a good way to get excited about what our young people are doing in terms of leading the way in some climate action. So that's exciting. So you get to meet who our new leaders are.
And also a lot of people, you know, in retirement like to do gully restoration, so maybe a chance for generational connectedness and conversation and understanding.
Yeah.
Yeah, learning.
It all sounds very exciting. We've actually run out of time, Ian, so we do need to finish off. Thank you so much, both of you, for coming in and having a chat about this.
You're all good. No, can I just quickly add that there will be free buses to access the gullies between 9 and 3 as long as you show your registration. You could get on any bus within Hamilton for free.
That's awesome, and well done to Waikato Regional Council for supporting climate action in this way.
Exactly.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for having us.
You've been listening to Connect with Community Waikato on Free FM 89.0.
For more episodes of this Community Access Radio show, please visit freefm.org.nz. Thanks to New Zealand On Air for making this podcast possible by funding the Access Internet Radio Project.